talked about truth and prayed that I would always have the strength and courage to bring the truth. And Jesus, of course, he talked about truth. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he prayed just before he went to the cross, John 17, chapter and verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. We're going to be talking about the opposite of truth here in just a moment. We're going to be talking about a place or a condition. I really don't know how to describe what it is we're going to be talking about as far as that place or condition is concerned. Place is something that is a statement from the carnal aspect. There's a GPS location we can put with it. This place that I'm talking about is not in connection with the GPS location, but it is at least a condition. And there is a condition, a place, where their worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. Mark 9 and verse 44. Where there is outer darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25 and verse 30. This place is known as hell. And not a popular subject. It's really even not our subject. It's about the main occupant of hell that we find in Scripture. And so all the young people, I want you to pay attention to the slides and listen to what I have to say this evening. And all of you old people, I want you to watch the slides and what I have to say, and all of you in-betweeners. This lesson is for each and every one of us. The featured resident of hell is the liar. The one that will not tell the truth. We're going to define a liar. A liar is one who breaks faith, a false and faithless person. That's one that lies. A lie is a conscious and intentional falsehood. 1 John 2 and verse 21, I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. And if there's one thing that is rampant in this world, and the reason for the main occupancy of this condition of hell, is lies and liars. Those that tell lies. And it's so upsetting when we're lied to. That really does upset us so much. And I want you to keep that in mind, just how upsetting that is whenever we're not told the truth. The origin of lies goes back to the very beginning of creation. Genesis 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 5. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. He began his work at the point in time in which law came into existence. And when law came into existence, he lied about what God says. That's the beginning of lies. That's the beginning of the work of the father of lies, as we're going to be seeing in just a moment. The falsehood that was told, and it is for the purpose of not believing God, but rather believing what we want to believe. And that is what lies are. We look over at Satan as he's described in John the 8th chapter in verse 44. Jesus said, as he's speaking to the Jews, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. And there are those that are in this world today that can't bring themselves to tell the truth about matters. And they can trace their lineage of being a liar all the way back to the father of liars, the one that began it all, going back to the garden. They have that evil DNA within them because they will not tell the truth. Deceit is a type of lie. We look in 1 John 2, verses 1 through 6. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. Deceit is a form of lie. And of all places for it to be the most rampant upon the face of the earth, it is involved in the religious aspect. More, I believe, than any other place. People claim to be Christians. They will use that particular name, but only in title and not in conduct of life. It is deceit. They call themselves Christians, and when they walk away, they look exactly like those of the world. Brethren, unfortunately, it takes place among brethren. Those that claim to be Christians. Those that say, I know the Lord. I know the Lord. But they don't walk in the light of the Lord. And it is a deceitful pretense that they are putting forth before others so that they will be viewed point in time as someone that is respectable and right and proper in the sight of God, but yet that is not their heart because they live just like the world whenever they walk away after proclaiming their allegiance to Christ Jesus by saying they're a Christian. And it happens among brethren. And that's unfortunate. Another type of lie is a half-truth. When we look over in Matthew 4, chapter verse 1 through 10, and I won't go through every verse. Satan, after Jesus had quoted Scripture in the second temptation, remember the first temptation really is if you really are the Son of God, and then he says, command these stones to be made bread. Jesus replies, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then Satan, after that, took him up on the high pinnacle of the temple in verse 5 and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. Satan is now quoting Scripture. But he's doing it from a half truth, because he says he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus points out his half truth in that when he says, again, it is written. One moment. Again, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And so he points out the half-truth that is presented by Satan. Satan quoted Scripture, but the Scripture that he quoted was taken out of context. That's a half-truth. And brethren, that happens among members of the body of Christ quite often, or at least those that call themselves Christians, quite often to engage themselves in some practice where there really is no authority for that particular practice. Another type of lie is a broken promise. Over in 1 John 1, we look at verses 5 through 10, especially in verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. In becoming a child of God, there was something that each and every one of us was asked by somebody. And it was really the only thing that we find in Scripture that men and women are asked before they become children of God, and that is this. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And when we say yes to that, we're making a commitment to Christ Jesus. We're making a commitment to God, as commitment of life. In the way that we are going to conduct ourselves. It is, in essence, a promise that is being made when we make that commitment. And again, there are those that will make that commitment and then do nothing at all as far as service for their Lord. They'll do nothing. Another type of lie is plagiarism. Plagiarism is taking someone else's work or ideas and passing them off as your own. And we see over in Acts 19, chapter verses 13 through 16, that's exactly what was involved with the exorcist, the sons of Sceva, the seven sons of Sceva, when they called upon the Lord's name and upon Paul's name, as they knew they could not cast out devils, but hopefully would by using or inciting the names of both Jesus and Paul. And the demons, who recognize who the true one is, said, Jesus we know, Paul we know, but who are you? And it was really plagiarism that they used. In a sense, I have been accused of plagiarism as a preacher. And in a sense, there is a half-truth in that. And I'll tell you, I don't want to preach anything that has not been delivered to us and revealed to us in God's Word. But whenever I take words exactly from another preacher, I will tell you that also that I wish that I had thought of that, but I didn't. And so I will attribute whoever it was that said the statement that I make. That's really not plagiarism in that particular sense. But there are those that will take another person's work and make it their own and then claim that they thought of it. And that happens even among preachers, unfortunately. And then there are the outright fabrications or lies, outright lying. And when we look over in Acts 5th chapter, verses 1 through 11, we have the account there of Ananias and Sapphira. And they had sold a piece of land for a certain amount of money and told the apostles, we are giving all the proceeds from that sale to you to put into the coffers, into the treasury of the church to take care of those that are needy. And it came to Peter's knowledge that that was not the truth, and he and some other men went to confront, first of all, Ananias. And he said to him, Ananias, why has, and this is in verse 3 of Acts 5, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You've not lied to men, you've lied to God. And I will tell you something about those that lie. If they will lie to men, they will lie to anyone, and they will even lie to God. And that's exactly what takes place right here, as we see in this particular account. And because of that, after the beginning of the preaching of the gospel and the kingdom of Christ coming into effect on the day of Pentecost, in Acts 2nd chapter, God strikes down not only Ananias, but also his wife that was involved in that direct lie. He strikes them down. And in so doing, he was sending a message. God is not going to be mocked, and God is not going to be lied to. You must respect God, you must respect Him for who He is, and you must respect the truth. What liars do and lying does, and sometimes I think this is overlooked, as we're going to be seeing. First of all, liars hate people and love themselves because they're looking for something that promotes them in some way by telling a lie. And it doesn't matter if there is harm done to someone else as long as they are promoted in that. And we see that when we look over in 1 Kings, the 13th chapter, verses 15 through 19. Remember, there was a young prophet that had come into the land to prophesy against the king and against his rule. And he is told by God, when you go into the country and you deliver the message that I have given you to give, you will then not go back the way that you came. You will not eat with anyone. You'll not stop, and you'll go a different route on your way back, and you will not tarry at all. And as you remember, there was an old prophet that was there. And his sons told him about this young prophet. And he says, where is he? And they told him, and he went after the young prophet and outright lied to him because he wanted the company of that young prophet. He says, God has told me, even though God told you this, not to come in and eat with anyone, not to tarry and go back a different way. He told me that you need to come. And then, whenever he sat down to eat with him, then the prophet was instructed by God, the old prophet was instructed by God to tell the young prophet of his sin. And that young prophet, because of that, died. He lost his life. And all of that because of the love of the old prophet for himself, on what he wanted rather than what was best for the young prophet in following God's will. That will happen today, and that does happen today also. With brethren that have hobbies, things that they are so interested in that they spend all of their time on teaching something that is without authority so that they will have a name for themselves no matter what it does to people. They will lead people astray. and make sure that their thoughts are promoted among brethren to the best of their ability. And there's not a bit of difference. Liars hate people whenever they tell them the lies and do not tell them the truth. Liars have to lie more. If there is a lie that is told, well, then there has to be other lies to back it up as time goes on. Because you see, lying, being opposite of the truth, will always show itself in some way as a fallacy, to which then the liar has to lie again to try to cover it up. And so that's the reason that Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving, and here's the other part, and being deceived. Liars can even get to the point in their deceiving where they are deceiving other people. They begin to believe the very thing that they are deceiving people with. What a shame. And they don't recognize the harm that they're not only doing to others, but they do to themselves. Liars hurt themselves. And so John says in 1 John 1 and verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. It comes back to haunt the one that tells the lie, and will always do that. Lying is calling God a liar. And we see that in verse 10 of that same chapter, 1 John 1. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him, that is God, a liar, and his word is not in us. Lying keeps a person from heaven. It keeps a person from being with God when this life is over. When we look in Revelation 21 and verse 8, says there, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. They will go to hell. And it's just that straightforward. We must be people of the truth, though. And being people of the truth, truth is good. John 1 and verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten Son, begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What Jesus brought to this world was that which would fight against lies. It was the absolute truth, and it is the absolute good, and that's what truth is. Because it not only looks out for the one that speaks it, it also looks out to the ones that are being spoken to by it. It genders good. It is for the good. Truth will set us free. John 8 chapter and verse 32. Truth sanctifies us. John 17 and verse 17. Truth seekers do not hide. They want scrutiny. They want others to look at them, to hear them, and make sure that they are teaching the truth. John 3 and verse 21, Jesus said, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God, in accordance with God's will. Liars will always hide from the light, will always hide from the truth. Not truth seekers. They want it. They want that scrutiny. True worshipers worship in spirit and in truth. And we understand that, of course, from John 4, 23 and 24. The hour is coming and now is in which the worshipers will worship the Father, in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him, those type of people that will tell the truth. God is spirit, and those who worship must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Not by what makes them feel good, not by what they think, but rather by what God says. True followers of Jesus follow His way because He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We can do nothing, and this is something to remember. Everyone remember this. All young people remember this. That when we tell the truth, it will always turn out good, and when we tell the lie, it will never turn out good, and this also, the truth will always stand no matter what, even when a lie is told against it. We can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. So let us all speak truth to each other. Ephesians 4, verse 25, therefore, putting away all lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. But there's something else to remember. Everybody remember this. That even though we may get completely upset when we are lied to, and it just bothers us when people tell lies, and we know that it is not the truth, and we know that it's not from the Father, we know that there's a place, a condition that is prepared for those that lie. We need to make sure that we look at ourselves. We need to make sure that we are not liars. We need to make sure, looking up here, you young people, we need to make sure that we're not like this man right here, who wants to correct somebody because they see something being done, but they really can't correct it properly because they do things wrong from time to time. And we have to remember that. And that's what Jesus talked about when we look in Matthew 7, verses 3 through 5. He says, "And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your own eye." And there are people who get so upset with liars, but yet they do things wrong themselves and don't even recognize it, because all they do is focus on the one that lied to them rather than on their own actions. Remember what Jesus said to Peter in John 21, 21 and 22. Jesus had told Peter how he was going to die. And Peter saw John, who was sitting over there by the Lord, and he says, "Lord, what about this man? What about John?" Peter wasn't listening to what the Lord said. He didn't want to accept that. He said, "Well, understand that about me, but what about somebody else? What about John over there?" And Jesus said to him in verse 22, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Our concern is not to be about the actions of others. Our concerns are to be about our own actions, that we do that which is right and pleasing in God's eyes. And when we do that, I'll tell you, we are teaching others. We're teaching others. We're teaching them that individual responsibility to God is primary. And I'm not going to worry about what you do. I'm going to worry about what I do. I hope that you don't lie. I hope that you're not disobedient. But the main thing is that I've got to stand for the Lord and do His will. Maybe those in the audience this afternoon that are not children of God. I really don't see anybody, but I want to make this comment anyway. And it could be used at another point in time. Those that have come to an age of accountability and understand what God expects from them, that do not obey, that do not render obedience to God through faith with a penitent attitude, saying, "I will make that change in my life," that those that will not name the name of Christ and will not be baptized for remission of their sins, they don't realize that they're living a lie. They're living a lie. And the reason they're living a lie is that they're forgetting about the very purpose why they are put here upon this earth, and that is to serve God. Because of the love shown by God when He placed us here, we have then that obligation to serve Him. And Solomon said so himself in Ecclesiastes 12 chapter verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. That's what we are to do. And you live a lie unless you do that. If you don't become a child of God, you live a lie because you reject the shed blood of Christ Jesus. If you don't become a child of God, you reject God's love for sending Christ Jesus to the cross for you. You live a lie. And those of us that are here that are Christians, are we living the truth or are we living a lie? After becoming a child of God, it doesn't stop there. We continue on. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Which God had foreordained before that we should walk in them. And if we're not, if we're just setting back and we say the opposite of what Isaiah said in Isaiah 6 and verse 8. Remember, he said, "Here am I, send me." I used that this morning. Are we saying, "There they are, send them. I don't want to be bothered. I was baptized. That's all you're getting, Lord." That is living a lie. It's living a lie that you were really ever a child of God. It's living a lie that you cared about the shed blood of Christ Jesus. It's living a lie that you cared about the redeeming of your souls. And so let's not live a lie. And let's not just look at others. Let's look at ourselves to make sure that we are living the way that we should live. If there are those we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.